The fear of God is for us a reference. Last time we understood the fear of God as a sense of awe. To understand the immensity, the majesty, the ability of God. And yet as we understand that, as we contemplate that, then we are able to look to Him as our reference. So I invite you to turn with me in the book of Proverbs to the 9th chapter. Proverbs chapter 9. One verse in Proverbs chapter 9. You should know this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What does the beginning mean? There are different senses in Scripture of what beginning actually means. In this sense, it means the first step of a journey. When you take the first step of a journey, that determines the course and direction of that journey. The first step of a journey. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is wisdom but skill for living? Wisdom is skill for living. And therefore, when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is where skill for living begins. Now, when we think about skill for living, we can very easily think about all the skills that I need to make a prosperous life. That is not what the Scriptures mean by living in terms of material things. Not at all. The Lord Jesus said, very pointedly, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." That is not what defines a successful life. The conventional definitions of success are exactly wrong. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is where skill for living begins. The meaning and purpose of life and the ability to realize it begins with the fear of God. That is our reference point. What does it mean when the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding? Do you think maybe Nebuchadnezzar got a little bit of understanding? He encountered the Holy One, and he was given understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Understand, you know what it means? It just simply means this: I get it. I get it. That's understanding. I know the meaning and purpose of life, and I know how it can be realized. And there's only one place that that comes from, and it comes from the fear of God. Turn back with me to Daniel chapter 4 once again. Look at those verses. Look at verse 30. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" A little too much of himself in there. What is that? That is a classic example of self-reference. That is a classic example of one who is born with the problem of self-preeminence. Self-preeminence meaning I consider myself to be the greatest and most important reality in existence. Guess what? Every one of us is born with that problem. And the fear of God rescues us from that. Look at verse 34. "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me." You see the reference there? "And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will, and in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth." No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? This is his declaration. This is a public letter that King Nebuchadnezzar wrote, the king of the greatest empire at that time in the history of the earth. Look at verse 37. Now I, King Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. That is reverence. That is the way to fear the Lord. Now, there have been many other key thinkers in history. Let me quote just a few of them for you. Let's start with Karl Marx. Man is free only if he owes his existence to himself. Listen to the self-reference in all of this. This is using yourself as a reference point to understand truth and reality. This is where this comes from. Friedrich Nietzsche. If there were gods, who could bear not to be gods? Therefore, there are no gods. Herbert Spencer, progress is not an accident, but a necessity. Surely must evil and immorality disappear. Surely must men become perfect. And that's the belief that humanity is progressing towards perfection, a utopia. How are we doing so far? Walt Whitman, one's self I sing, a simple, separate person. John F. Kennedy, man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Ayn Rand, man's destiny is to be a self-made soul. E.O. Wilson, humanity will be positioned godlike to take control of its own ultimate fate. There's no divine reference there. There's no fear of God in those statements. But to fear the Lord is to have an infinite reference point. There are many thinkers today and many in education who do not have the fear of God. And what does that look like? Well, it has moral ramifications. It has ramifications in our very perspective on life and the decisions and the choices that we would make. There is a new DVD that is out. It's called Evolution Versus God. And on that, there is a clip. And I just want to show you about a minute and a half of it. It begins with a professor from UCLA. And then it takes you to some moral decisions that some people would make. Consider this.
Nobody was immoral. Nobody's claiming that evolution is a moral process. Evolution is a very harsh and cruel process.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
You have a dog?
Yes.
Love your dog?
I do love my dog.
Yes, I do. Okay. Well, you pick dog and your rotten neighbor are drowning. You'd only save one of them. Who would you save?
That is a tough one.
You only save one?
Why are you hesitating?
Oh, I think I would save my dog.
I don't know why I'm really hesitating. Because I don't know, I feel like people would see me as a bad person if I said the dog.
I'll save my dog.
So, is your neighbor not worth saving?
Well, he's not worth saving more than my dog is.
I'd go with the dog.
I mean, you would want to save the animals. I would want to save my dog.
Well, we're animals. I believe we're all equal. I don't think humans have, like, a higher, like, place.
So you think dogs are more valuable than human beings? Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, I do.
So it's just a matter of survival at first. Your neighbor's a primate, and you've got a canine, and you like the canine more than you like the primate. Would that be right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, survival of the fittest. I mean,
survival of the fittest?
Yeah, pretty much.
You said you believe in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of survival of the fittest.
Yeah,
if he drowns, he drowns. Big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is true.
Are you an atheist?
Yeah.
Any fetus is less human than an adult pig. Richard Dawkins.
That kind of says it there, doesn't it? Such is life without a reference point. Outside of yourself. an infinite reference point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Statements like this and the statements that I read earlier, without any kind of a reference point like that, we become like what G.K. Chesterton said, with our feet firmly planted in midair. We need that reference point. We need the fear of God. This understanding that we get through the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the Holy One. Consider what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Is this a statement riddled with hubris? I'm better than you? No. The psalmist is just simply saying, I have a reference point. I can make sense of what is, because I have this infinite reference point beyond myself that has communicated himself to me. Therefore, I can say about life, I get it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What about this infinite reference point? It's very interesting. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre said, no finite point has meaning without an infinite reference point. Not a believer, not a Christian by any stretch of the imagination. Did not hold to the revelation of the Word of God. But he says, no finite point has meaning without an infinite reference point. Let me put that in another word. You, as a finite, easily to be mistaken human being, are not sufficient to be your own reference point. You cannot be the ultimate arbiter of truth. A reference point is commonly defined as something that helps you find your way. It's a standard, a guide. For example, we hear on the news about tornadoes ripping through neighborhoods. You ever try to navigate after a tornado? It becomes troublesome. Why? Because all the landmarks are taken away. You're used to navigating through a town, but when the tornado has ripped through the town, the houses are gone, the trees are gone, and you really don't know where you are. The reference points are gone. But instead, the revelation that we have from God in the historic Christian faith is, as C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Do you see the understanding there? Do you see the wisdom there? Do you see him saying, I get it? I can make sense of what is because I am referring to a reference point that is way beyond me. That reference point who is God, who is infinite, but he is personal and he has made himself known. You see, fearing God as your reference is like a builder following the designer's blueprints. Fearing God as your reference is like a builder following the designer's blueprints. And it leads us to three things I want to consider this morning. First of all, it leads us to understand outcomes. Or you could say destiny. Where is my life going? Where will I end up? The fear of the Lord informs us to be able to answer that question. I understand the end. I understand the finish line. Like the builder can have a picture of the finished building. This is what it is to look like. Without the fear of the Lord, we cannot have that. It's interesting. Harvard psychologist and researcher Daniel Gilbert opens his best-selling book entitled Stumbling on Happiness with what he calls the sentence. The sentence begins with these eight words. The human is the only animal that. Now, he's a secular psychologist, so he believes that we are animals. Okay, so that goes back to what we were just discussing before. So he says the human is the only animal that. And then he challenges people to finish that statement. What makes us unique on earth? What is the defining feature of our humanity? Here is how Gilbert answers that question. The human being is the only animal that thinks about the future. Human beings think about the future in a way that no other animal can, does, or ever has. And this simple, ordinary act is the defining feature of our humanity. In other words, there is something beyond ourselves. There is an accountability. Jesus said this very, very poignantly, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, on the subject of fear. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's a little bit of a wake-up call, isn't it? You see, the fear of the Lord helps us understand outcomes because we have such information. We can see the finish line and we are held accountable to it, just as the builder is held accountable to the blueprints for the building that he's building. The fear of the Lord also leads us to avoid distractions. If we have that finish line, if we have the objective, then that will keep us from distractions. It will help us avoid the distractions that will lure us away. There is a contest that goes on every year. It's called the Wacky Warning Labels Contest. You probably have heard of this some before. The contest selects what it's called the most absurd and silly warning labels attached to everyday products. Here's the winner for 2012. The grand prize winner was attached to a 7-inch decorative globe. Just something to set on your shelf. It was a piece of decoration. And on the globe was this warning. These globes should not be referred to for navigation. I guess some people couldn't figure that out on their own. But there's always going to be counterfeits, aren't there? There are always going to be another set of blueprints that comes along. There's going to be other ideas that come along and say, you know, forget those blueprints, let's try this. And if we keep trying different things and we start pulling away from the blueprints, we start veering away from that reference point, then who knows what kind of life we're going to end up with. We will end up disappointing. By the way, the second prize winner was for an electric razor for men with the following warning label, never use while sleeping. Just thought I'd let you know that. I'd like to know how that can happen. But anyway, the builder who ignores the blueprints and starts ad-libbing with the building or uses counterfeit blueprints will end in failure. I think Peter Kreeft gives us something to think about here. Because there are many distractions that can take us away from our reference point. One of the biggest ones is fear. The things that we fear. The people that we fear. You say, I don't fear anybody. Well, yeah, actually probably you do. Because if you ever try to impress somebody, that means you fear them. You want them to think well of you. So you're doing everything you can to get them to think well of you. What is that? That's fearing people. And there are so many things that we can fear in this life. And we are bent on self-preservation. We want safety. And so more and more there's things that we fear. Pretty soon before you know it, people will be required to wear helmets just to walk down a sidewalk. But Peter Kreeft challenges us to imagine our destiny described in Scripture. The day when sin, death, and evil are finally defeated by Christ. Listen to this. Suppose God took you on a crystal ball trip into your future and you saw with indubitable certainty that despite everything, your sin, your smallness, your stupidity, you could have free for the asking your whole crazy heart's deepest desire. Heaven, eternal joy. God. Would you not return fearless and singing? What can earth do to you if you are guaranteed heaven? To fear the worst earthly loss would be like a millionaire fearing the loss of a penny. He's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I like what Oswald Chambers said. It is the most natural thing in the world to be scared, and the clearest evidence that God's grace is at work in our hearts is when we do not get into panics. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. What a remarkable statement. And a good one. Fearing God as your reference not only leads us to understand outcomes, it not only leads us to avoid distractions, but it also leads us to understand success. It leads us to success. Remember, as I said before, the conventional definitions of success are exactly wrong. It has nothing to do with what you have. And yet it's so easy for us to fall into that rut, isn't it? How do we define success? In order to define success, you have to get back to the original question, why? Does the Bible inform us of the ultimate why? Yes, it does. In one very clear verse in Colossians chapter 1, with two simple little prepositions. And we sang about them this morning. All things were created by Him and what? For Him. You get that? You understand life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Success means to operate according to design. Are you operating according to design? Do you understand that you were made by God and you were made for God? So I would encourage you in this way. Don't look to the future for success. Instead, be successful today. Because you were designed for the very purpose of enjoying God and fellowshipping with Him. Therein is success. And it has nothing to do with any kind of material possession at all whatsoever. None. You see, the fear of God then answers the question, which reference point do I have to guide me through life towards genuine success? The fear of God answers the question, which reference point do I have to guide me through life towards that success? The success which is according to that original question, why? Why do I exist? That then is our verse for today. That is our understanding of the fear of the Lord, that God is my reference. That I get it when it comes to life. I get it in the same way that King Nebuchadnezzar got it. It wasn't about him and all he could do. The fact that he was king over Babylon was so much more about God than it was about him. And he got it. And he wrote a letter to his empire stating that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. May we be a people who genuinely fear God in this way today, that we can honestly, objectively, critically say of ourselves, I fear God as my reference. He is my guide toward that successful life. He is my means towards genuine success, so that I can say, I get it. And I am successful with the why of my life.